Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. The college football 12-team playoff. Hey, we have our most trusted college football insider stopping by about 20 minutes to give us the latest on this idea that looks like it could happen as long as everybody agrees on it sometime in the next couple of weeks. It's been a really, really big deal. You know, the one thing, Mike, you know, we've gone through the last few minutes, the worst reasons for not having a 12-team playoff, right? Then the two worst ones and the most popular ones were you water down the playoff, which you really don't. You have 10 teams with the same resume, basically, right. Only two of them are getting in the play. You usually have a top two that, boy, these are the two best teams, and then everybody else is kind of the same, right? And then you have the argument that, well, the regular season won't mean as much. You're adding eight teams, not 50. There's still going to be big games. You want big games to still happen. You want people to still schedule games like Florida and Texas. You want to still see that. It won't happen if you don't keep doing that.
Right, so, but the big teams are still going to be an advantage, right, as you go through the scheduling of the process. And it's if you get upsets, guess what? Your playoffs got better.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, these are the two big things. Well, I don't want to. And again, it sounds like someone who's just yelling, get off my lawn, right? Or like with no shirt, shorts, and sock supporters and sandals yelling, hey, I like college football when it was the big sport and nobody knew what the NFL even was back then. The worst argument I've got, because we got a big story from the NBA coming up in a second. The worst argument I've gotten has been, well, if you do the 12-team playoff, boy, how are people going to travel to go see their teams every week? You know what? Watch it at home like everybody else does. Is it really the same 20,000 people that are traveling every week? No,
right.
Of course not.
The folks that have deep wallets, deep pockets and big fat wallets, Costanza-sized wallets filled with cash instead of receipts, are still going to travel. And you know what? That's what, 0.5%? So you have to make a choice. Do I go to round one or do I not? The horror.
Really think about the traveling fans. Like that's what, think about the traveling fans and how much money they have to spend. Just go, you go to one game, pick the game you want to go to. If you have money and you can do it, go to two games. If not, you pick the game to go to. I don't get that. These are all just non-starter ideas. I mean, these are just absolutely non-starter ideas for you, which is why you don't have it. It's obvious they figured out the money. Okay. So
cash.
Now we're doing it. They figured out the money. How does everybody get in on this?
That's the one thing that everybody's got to remember. You get all of your Power Five in. Some of the teams that would always complain, hey, we get left out. We don't get a shot. Now you're going to get a shot. Mm. Right? Just take care of your business. You're going to finish high enough to get into the dance. And then you have to win out. And you're going to get your chance to prove it. Just know that if you bow out early and you get blown out from this thing, then perhaps there's residual effects for later years. But you know what? You're still getting a seat. And anybody that was going to go to bowl games, you know, the bowl games will still exist. The good, big bowl games. You're going to probably lose some off the bottom, right? You're going to chop some of those off.
That's
fine. But the
fine.
Reality is, no, which fine. Is fine, which you've argued, you could argue should be done anyway.
Look, the bowl system now is the same thing as what professional sports all-star games are, right? But the bowl said that used to be so special. You know, as things evolve and as time evolves, some things that were linchpins for a long time, you know, aren't around anymore. People used to go to Radio Shack all the time. There's no more Radio Shack. Why? Because times have evolved. People buy things online. There's different other big appliance and electronics vendors. It just happens that way. And bowl games, by and large, have had their day. and now we're on to other things. It's just like All-Star Game. The NBA All-Star Game. Well, we got the NBA All-Star Game is what it is, right? In the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, it is what it is.
You watch it, you don't. And, exactly.
You can't sit here and make it into something. It's not. It's an All-Star Game. It's a fun night. You get to see something you don't get to see all the time. But as far as the big impact and what it used to be, it's seen better days because we have interleague play now. The specialness of not seeing these players is kind of gone. Right? That's kind of what the bowl system has seen its day. So forget about trying to save the bowl system. If you're thinking that's going to do it, it's not. The bowl system is just going to be how do we keep it the best as it can be, right? How do we keep the All-Star games the best they can be? Well, maybe we can move formats. We can change formats a little bit and get a few more eyeballs this year. Maybe we change the way we do it next year. And they're just year to year trying to keep things going. So people still like the baseball All-Star game and the NBA All-Star game. The NFL has decided, the Pro Bowl, we just can't even do it anymore. Nobody even cares.
There was a sizable audience. They just need to make it happen again. They were still getting 8 million people and a lot of betting.
Yeah. No, but you keep it going. It's obviously going to decline, but you want to keep it an incredibly slow decline. You want to keep it like a drip. You want it to drip.
Sure.
Drip. And that's what you want to do with the bowl games. They're going to decline, but you want it to drip. Drip. You don't want to see it just fall off a cliff where you see a bowl game and go, my God, there's more people. The Pac-12 championship game. Too soon for the Pac-12. Too soon for that. Too soon. Yeah, there's more people.
Well,
there.
It was their time. You got to call them out. It's good.
But saving the bowl system isn't a way to say, well, this is why we got to keep it. The bowl system, you're just going to keep it the best it can be. And if you're cutting games out and you're going to a few less games, that's just what it's got to be to save the bowl system, right? To keep the bowl system great. But using that as an excuse to say, that's why we can't have the playoff? No. Bowl system has seen its day. It's just like the All-Star games. They come, they go, and they move on. And we're on to other things.
You're ruining the sanctity. Are we kidding? Come on. Who are we kidding? I mean, I know some of those towns, they love to host the bowls, the pageantry. You get a bunch of parties and everybody, puts in a couple of bucks, and maybe you build a float, maybe you just hang out, and it's like the carnival comes again. That's great. You know what? Just have another carnival. Find a local band.
And everybody remember, this is Seduction with their 1989 hit, You're My One and Only True Love. Whoa.
No, but like growing up, right? I had relatives that lived in Burlington, Iowa, and they always had steamboat days. It was a big deal on the Mississippi River and big festival, right? Carnival rides and eats and everything. But they'd always get a couple of big musical acts, right? One year we saw, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Another year, the Beach Boys. And at the time, we're 9, 10 years old. Folks are telling us, and giving us a bit of the history. My dad, we were big, just like I am with my kids, a lot of music together. In a minute 30 bursts. But the idea being that, we had those celebrations. So I actually have picked up like memorabilia from Steamboat Days, but the same thing. Everybody celebrated. It was, it brought the town together. Maybe you celebrate your own thing. And you know what? If you look hard enough on the internet, you can find out what it costs to book most of your favorite bands from the 80s, 90s, and today. And see if you can't pull that off.
That was very adult contemporary way you said that. The best bands of the 80s, 90s, and today. Here on Y94F.
I am trying to expand my repertoire and my resume. Gentlemen, if you could clip that off, I'd like to add it to my reel.
Coming up later on this hour, we have music from Phil Collins, Creed, and a new one from Green Day. So that's kind of all the different reasons you can say why not to have the top 12 teams in the new college football playoff system. And none of them are good. None of them are good. None of them good. I just don't like change. I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. I mean, it's ridiculous. We got more on this with Pete Futak coming up in a few minutes. Meanwhile, NBA right now, Utah leads the Clippers 47-44, still 6 minutes to go before halftime. It has been a very, very big first half so far for Donovan Mitchell with the Mamba mentality. Mitchell started off with 8 points in the first minute of the game, and right now he is the Jazz leading scorer. He's got 21 with still half the second quarter to go. He is 9 out of 12 from the floor. He just hit a 3 from basically Damian Lillard logo range to push the lead out to 3. But speaking of the NBA, right, we watched earlier tonight, and I can't say a thriller. We can say a nice close game. We can say it was close. It was exciting at the end. Milwaukee beats Brooklyn 86-83. Not a lot of offense. And the final minute and a half for the Nets comes down to Bruce Brown, who was having a huge game, had a wide open 15-footer that could have given the Nets the lead in the final 40 seconds. He missed. The Bucks hit a free throws. They come down at the end. Kyrie Irving misses a layup. The Bucks hit a free throws. KD misses a huge three, desperation three, as the clock ticks zero, and the Bucks win this game. And my Bucks, who I picked to go to the NBA Finals, get back in this series with the Nets at least for today. And I've seen already on social media all the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It's their fault. How do they not take the final shots in the last minute? And I go, you know what? Sometimes we just rush to want to blame the stars when they don't take the shots at the end. All right, this was a game in which the Nets had the lead, and Bruce Brown, who was having a big game, gets a 15-footer all by himself. I mean, this is a guy that's having a good game, that has, you know, hit big shots. He's, you know, he's 16-11, and he's playing really well, and because everybody's on KD and Kyrie, he's got a 15-footer that's wide open. I'm okay with that shot. Kyrie Irving goes in for a layup. Of course I'm okay with Kyrie taking that layup. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant takes a shot at the end. That's a three that almost goes. I'm okay with that. But I feel like everybody just wants to manufacture times going, oh, look at this, the last minute and a half. Last minute and a half. Kevin Durant took the last shot. Kyrie Irving took the layup that could have tied the game. He missed. Yes, so really that's what it is. You know, Bruce Brown missing that 15-footer with 40 seconds left. Now, let's just circle that one. Not the other ones. Not Kyrie Irving missing the layup. You know, Kyrie making the layup. That would have done it. But let's look at Bruce Brown. Sometimes other guys take shots. When it comes down to the end of games, you're drawing up plays, how things go. Yeah, the final shots have to go to your stars. The Nets went to Kyrie, and they went to Kevin Durant. But because this shot was Bruce Brown's, oh, what? Why didn't KD take that shot? They took the last two shots. All right, when you're this wasn't the Clippers.
Isn't Marcus Morris in the final 5 seconds of a game suddenly having the ball with Rudy Gobert cheating his way. No.
it's not Paul George going, please don't pass me the basketball. You know, like the kid they put in the game at the end because he hasn't played yet. And, you know, his parents brought the juice slices, the orange slices at the game, and they were bringing the post-game snack. All right, put Jimmy in. Oh, don't pass me the ball. I don't want to shoot it. I'm just going to stand on the side. You just do your thing. I mean, this is not Paul George saying, I don't want the shot, or Kawhi Leonard going, I'm not going to try. I'm going to throw it to Marcus Morris. All right, it's a little bit different. When we get to the end of the game, sometimes it's that rabid desire to say, let's blame the stars, but it's a much different end of game for the Nets than it was for the Clippers the other night. And I'm sure you're going to see it over the next 24 hours. You're going to see KD. Why doesn't KD take that shot? I can't believe Bruce Brown. Who is Bruce Brown anyway? Nobody knows who Bruce Brown is. Why is Bruce? Where is Kyrie taking this shot? However, that's what you're going to get for the next 24 hours. And I'm telling you, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's much different from the Clippers, but hey, I get it. When you know, people only watch the last 10 seconds of a game and they look for topics to talk about, that's what it's going to be. I can't stop it. I can only tell you there's a difference between what happened tonight and what happened with the Clippers.
Yeah, different flow, different stage of the game, right? It's in the final minutes, but not in the last shot. They got the ball to Kevin Durant, and he took a shot, got a pretty good shot off, nearly made it. We almost saw overtime. We would have then had teams, in theory, get to a 90 spot on the scoreboard. Alas, that did not happen. So this will go down as the anomaly in the great scoring year that is 2020-2021 for the NBA. But you're absolutely right. This is not the end of game, end days. Well, what we want to call it, Endgame, just so we can go with all our Marvel love that we do on the show, and wordplay, is that, you know, this wasn't George to Kawhi, or Kawhi with the handoff to George turning, pivoting, and immediately getting the ball out of his hands, like this was Bane about to blow up the field in Dark Knight Rises. I mean, hey, I get it to Hines. I don't want anything to do with this. Mm. And then Kawhi, for whatever reason, decides to go to Morris, not take the timeout, not reset, not get a play drawn up to come off a screen or find some way to get open. No, he passes it to Morris in the final seconds. This wasn't it. I mean, we watched it where the final shots were, and Brown had a huge game. He was hyped for 4 minutes on this show. Go back and listen to last hour. It was the Bruce Brown game. And then, you know, people like the term choked. He missed a wide open shot and a shot he'd made all day. And I'm sure in that Nets locker room, they shrugged and went, man, just didn't go down. What are you going to do? And you move forward, and you're still up 2-1. I mean, that's the other thing. James Harden is still in street clothes, and you still took them to the final seconds, right? I mean, because didn't you hear that for 2 days of, well, the Clippers didn't play their best, but look, they were in it at the end. All right, then the same goes for the Nets. One of their three stars isn't even playing. He's cheerleading. He's talking to Blake Griffin on the sideline. And, you know, they have to be afforded the same luxury.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harbin. I mean, there's a big difference in what we saw with the Clippers and what we saw with the Nets tonight. 877-99 on Fox. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harbin. If you miss any of our show, don't forget. Our Best Of podcast goes up right after our show is over on iTunes. Use the iHeartRadio app. However you listen to podcasts, you can get them. Download it. Subscribe to it. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harbin will love you forever and ever and ever. So coming up next, one of our most trusted college football insider stops by, breaks down his big thoughts of this new, likely 12-team college football playoff we could be getting the next couple of weeks. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Right now, late in the second quarter, Jazz have a 60-50 lead over the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell, 24 points to lead all scorers right now. This could be a 50-burger night for Donovan Mitchell. 50-burger. But clearly the biggest story the last 2 days that kind of has come out of nowhere, with big meetings coming up the next couple of weeks, there is a lot of life and the likelihood that we could see an expansion to a 12-team college football playoff. Now, whether it happens this year or in 2 years, that's up for debate. But the model that's being presented right now is a 12-team format of 6 conference champions and 6 wild cards. Joining us now on the hotline for everything we need on this, college football insider extraordinaire, the owner, proprietor, publisher of collegefootballnews.com. He writes every single article on the website, including under nom de plumes. It is longtime friend of the show, Pete Futak. Pete, what's happening, man? Happy summer.
I wasn't going to say the word Schembechler with you guys, but then you brought up poison, and it put me in a bad mood, and now I bring up the word poison. How's it going, guys?
Dude, we're good, man. I mean,
it's good until you brought that up.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about the playoff than Schembechler. I think that's more fun and something really cool. I'd rather the Schembechler thing is really bad. And boy.
And growing, yes.
Not going to be pleasant, but there is college football playoff expansion talk, which is a whole heck of a lot more entertaining and fun.
Yeah, so let's deal with that. Let's not say we're going to ignore it. Let's hear. So this Mo Schembechler story that's come out, that we've seen the allegations from his son about what happened when he was abused at the University of Michigan, is this something that is do you see this continuing to grow and it becomes another Penn State thing, or is this something that we're going to see different angles of this and have to spend more time parsing it out?
Yeah, you know, we could do a whole big thing on this. I don't sense that there's the appetite for it. First of all, I don't think people know who Bo Schembechler is. You know, I say that flippantly, but that was so long, he was around so long ago, that I don't think that name carries weight. So while it's a horrible story, I do think there is going to be some repercussions on the campus in terms of things named Schembechler. But outside of that, no. I mean, Penn State was a whole other animal because it happened in the moment with Paterno there. This we're talking about, you know, decades ago. you know, obviously still horrific in what happened with this story, but I just don't quite see it having that kind of legs anywhere near anything of Penn State. And, you know, in terms of what might happen to Michigan, nothing compared to the Penn State factor.
All right, so now we get to the other big college football story, which is what we spent a lot of time on tonight, this 12-team playoff. First things first, let me ask you, are we going to get this? Is this going to happen?
Yeah. Something like this. I'm curious, first of all, I'm curious what you guys think about it, because as someone who is, I have argued that it needs to expand only if there's a way to do this where you can play your way in. And what they're kind of doing here to really, you know, to talk about this fast, is they're basically saying top six conference champions, conference champions are in no matter what. Then the next six ranked teams are in. So effectively, outside of this last year, which was a total outlier, you know, with Oregon ranked 25th and Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina ranked higher, you'd pretty much get the Power Five conference champions in every year. So it's kind of a good thing in that way. And I actually think the way they're talking about setting this up makes it actually more interesting for the college football regular season, because now, for all intents and purposes, if you win your Power Five conference championship, you're going to be in, which just raises the stakes that much more for the conference title games. Like last year, Northwestern would have had a shot to get in this thing. Iowa State would have had a shot to get in this thing. And it's the article, I put the article up now on CFN, where you kind of see the teams over the years that would have at least had gotten their chance. It's not, that's not to say Alabama wouldn't win every year. But at least the point of this is the UCFs of the world, they just want to take their cuts. They just want to have a chance, and this would allow for that.
I just like the fact that we expand this, and change can be a good thing, right? I mean, Larry Scott's mad, though, because this ain't helping his cause.
Well, he's not going to be around anymore.
No, that's what I mean. He's mad that this is so late, that he could have at least claimed some level of competency. As it would have been.
Well, the competency there would be. I do think there's going to be tweaks to how they're going to do this. And again, I think at the end of the day, now they're talking about making this a part of the bowl system, which is interesting. The problem there becomes how many times you're going to make a fan base travel. I think the optics of not having stadiums full for playoff games would not be great. You're certainly going to have coaches complaining about the extra games. And certainly, you know, you could have the potential of an 18 or more game season for some of these guys. So that's a lot to ask out of college players. But in the day and age of name, image, and likeness, that might be, you know, there might be ways to profit off this at this point. The three parts of this that are the most interesting are the four teams that get a bye have to be conference champions. So you could have it where, you know, Notre Dame never gets a bye in the first round. You could have it where, you know, the number two or three team ranked doesn't get a bye because they are behind a conference because they don't win their conference champion. And then the quirkiest part about this, excuse me, which I think they are going to change, is they're not talking about reseeding after the first round. So the problem with that being the number one ranked team is going to get the number eight or number nine team, the winner of that game. There's the potential that if you have a big upset, that like the number four team could be in the sweet spot because, say, like it's 2014, Boise State would have been in and it was ranked 20th. If it had upset in Baylor, it would have played the number four seed. Houston in 2015 was ranked 18th. If it had pulled the upset, the number four team would have gotten that team. So there's going to have to be some tweaks to this, but at the very least, it's a workable idea that they've come up with.
So let me ask you, why did it take so long? If this is everybody's want, why did it take so long? I mean, I know everybody, they figured out the money. Hey, how do we all get a piece of this pie if we do it? But this is something that's been on the table, some kind of expansion for a long, long time now.
It seems to be like the will is there now, and I'm guessing that this is sort of an answer to the name, image, and likeness things. And I do get the sense that the conference commissioners, just see what's happening here in that it's no fun. Like right now, there was an article that came out today ranking, you know, what programs are going to be the best over the next 3 years? Well, take a guess. I mean, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, you know, boring. You know, you need something. And the idea of just adding some new element to the mix, just again, not to say that the big boys aren't still going to rise up. This is not going to be like the NCAA tournament. You can't, you know, have a bunch of hot three-point shooters for a weekend and, you know, move on. I mean, it's football. It's going to be really hard. You know, there's not going to be anything cheap about these playoffs. But I got the sense that there is just a will out there that enough's enough. You need to add more teams into this mix. But the other funky part about this that kind of gets lost, it doesn't make any sense, but it's actually kind of true, and you brought this up. These people don't actually care about money. It's a weird dynamic, but that's not really their main goal here, because if they really cared about that, we would have had a 2014 playoff from the start, and they would have made a gazillions of dollars and figured out from there. It's really more of these are bowl people who want things in the bowl system, and as long as they can raise the stakes, because the other part of the thing, too, the impetus to make this move is, all of a sudden, the bowls became less and less relevant. And you saw that last year where the bowl games really didn't matter. Players were opting out left and right. And you just kind of saw that, all right, these things are really just exhibition games. This might be a way to ramp those up again.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on the hotline with us, talking all things college sports, collegefootballnews.com. The NCAA playoff expansion is the hot topic. At collegefootballnews.com is where you can find all of Pete's latest. It's Pete Futek at Pete Futek, F-I-U-T-A-K is the surname. It's good to talk to you in the, quote, off season, as it were, but it never stops. So as we start pushing towards, we've got NBA action and all of this other fun and OTAs in the National Football League, you know, we start thinking about those early games for the college season. Anything that, from a news perspective, you know, we've gotten bombshells from the basketball side of guys retiring. Where's the football equivalent, Pete? Where's craziness there?
Transfers. Transfer portal, you can always have changes at the last second. That's a big deal. Clemson versus Georgia early on might be the biggest early game in the college football playoff era, because both Clemson and Georgia are potentially top three ranked teams to start this thing off. And the biggest story of the college football season this year is going to be the year of the super senior, where you've got the one-time exemption where everybody gets an extra year of eligibility after the COVID year if you want it. And as it turns out, when 23-year-old young men have the option of going out in the real world and trying to find a job or coming back for an extra year of college and being able to play football and just enjoy life for an extra year, take a guess where the more fun time is. And so you've got team after team with just crazy numbers of returning starters. Like every single team seems to have like 22 returning guys coming back, like with starters coming back. And so the big boys like Alabama and Clemson actually comes in the bag. Actually, Ohio State, Oklahoma even, they don't have necessarily the same guys that some of these other guys do. But the key is there's going to be more depth. So like the 6th, 7th, and 8th best teams in each conference, at the very least, are going to have like 22 starters back and be a tough out just because you've got a mature group of grown men who are going to be out there, who know what they're doing, which is going to make for a whole lot of wacky upsets this year, I hope, and this could make it a really crazy season.
Yeah, but Pete, what if your team is really bad and you have 22 guys coming back? I don't want 22 guys coming back from a 1-10 team.
Exactly. Well, that's the problem. But again, you know, that's always part of it. But that's what the transfer portal is for. And now what you've got, to take this to another tangent, you do have teams, like Texas State, I think, is the team that just completely blew off recruiting and just said, we're just going to go the transfer portal route. And that's what they did. And so what's going to happen fast and what's going to be the big story over the next 6 weeks that we're going to be talking about is what happens once fall camps kick in and the depth charts start
are coming out, because once that happens, then all of a sudden, all right, if you're second number, if somebody sees, okay, that's the number two quarterback on a depth chart now, and you lost the quarterback battle, he's going to have the vulture circling around him, and everyone's going to try to be dancing with that Dayton, picking them up. So you're going to see a whole lot of player movement over the next several weeks. And whatever rosters and depth charts you're seeing right now are going to change wildly between now and the end of August.
He is on Twitter at Pete Futak. That is at Pete Futak, the owner, editor, proprietor, grand poobah of collegefootballnews.com. Your one-stop shopping for everything college football. Go there right now. Get Pete's takes and insights on all of the big stories happening currently. Pete, as always, buddy, appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Good talking to you again.
See you, buddy.
All right. There goes Pete. Yeah. And again, the one thing is, was there one idea there that Pete even threw out that's an idea not to do it? Was there one idea? So, you know what, boy, this really is some reason you can't do it. Not one. There's ideas that, hey, maybe some things have to be done a little bit better. As you talked about, right now the format would be the teams with byes don't get a home game, but the teams 5 through 8 would get a home game because they're playing an extra round. There's certain things that need to be ironed out, but there's not one reason. But you know what? Can't do it. No, there's not one good reason to say we can't do this.
And let's call it what it is. It's a business like any other. Yes, it deals with education. Yes, you have to make progress towards degrees. All of those things. No, nobody's going to ignore that. But the reality is it's still a business, right? You've still got to employ an awful lot of people and keep the machine moving. And what happened last year? Like every other business, you've got to adapt and change and figure out where there are new revenue streams, and talked about name, image, likeness as part of it. But this transfer thing also, you need more money for administrative costs, man. I mean, you're going to have so many more man hours tracking what the hell's going on with everybody. And not only that, but reaching out into your communities to make sure these guys and women have their opportunities. But the transfer thing is a whole other conundrum as we flow through that, which may force some of the veteran coaches to say, the hell with this, much like Coach K.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Utah starting to pull away from the Clippers.
This isn't even
right
pretty.
Now.
Oh, it's gotten ugly.
74-55, Donovan Mitchell already with 30. He had a huge buzzer beater at the end of the first half from three. It has been all Jazz. We'll have more on this game coming up in about 10 minutes. Meanwhile, a really big NFL story involving a quarterback that's named not Aaron Rodgers. In the last couple of days, Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, was asked about how he feels right now. He seems a lot happier this offseason. He said, you're right, I am. I'm in a better mood this offseason. You're damn right, I am. Okay. Well, obviously, the big change in the Rams has been changing out quarterback Jared Goff from Matthew Stafford. When he was asked about this on a follow-up, because when you make a statement by saying, I've been very happy, with people are going to make that assumption, he tried to put a little tamp down on that by saying, hey, wait, I was taken out of context. I'm just happy. I'm excited. No. By no means, I'm not slighting Jared Goff here. No. He's done a phenomenal job the last 4 years here. So phenomenal, you shipped him out, giving up first-round picks to get rid of Jared Goff. Just own it. Okay, you couldn't stand Jared Goff. He held the team back. I get it. I understand. Yes, you wanted people to know you were happy because of the situation with Matthew Stafford at quarterback. But once people start saying, oh, he hated Jared Goff. Oh, no. I don't want to be that guy. Dude, just own it, man. Of course you're happy because Jared Goff is gone.
It's the logical extension.
Of course you're happy for that.
Well, but there's a way to say it, and to say, hey, we've got a veteran who there's a different level of communication, right? You could do it by kissing Stafford's ass more and without having to say it. Yeah, Jared wasn't on this level. And folks, if they want to be negative about it, you know, they got to go talk to Dan Campbell, and he's going to sick a lion on them. I mean, or come at their ankles. I don't know, something like that. So you're going to have problems. I think he's in a no-win situation in this one. Because you can only repeat the line, hey, Jared got us to a Super Bowl so many times. People are going to see through that. And then they're going to say, but you only scored 3 points.
They could still be playing that game and Jared Goff wouldn't have points on the board. They could still be playing that game 3 years later and they still wouldn't have any points on the board.
It's really bad.
Because Jared Goff was terrible. They would have had a better chance in that game if they pulled him and put Sean Mannion in. They would have had a chance.
Nobody
potentially
has
at least
celebrated
to pull that game
the life
out.
And times of Sean Mannion more than you.
Yeah, I'm watching. I know Jared Goff mentally is done. He's gone. He's you are just fruitlessly turning the ball over or punting the football by putting Jared Goff out there. Do something else. I get it. You paid him money. This is the Super Bowl, man. You can't just stick with it just because you have. He was awful. He was awful. Awful. They might have pulled it out with Sean Mannion because it was a different look and maybe it's a little bit more energy and you score a touchdown. You're not like you needed five touchdowns. You didn't need Sean Mannion to come in and go, hey, he's thrown 5 touchdowns here in the second half. You needed 1 touchdown and then a field goal after that. You might have been able to win the game. That's all you needed. Yes, of course. He's happy Jared Goff is gone. He's happy.
Yeah. No, it ends the era, so he can close the book and say, hey, I'm on to a new chapter, right? Because obviously he sucked in that Super Bowl too, didn't he? He had no answers for the defense that the Patriots put up. So,
no.
You know, that's on him. You can't put it all on Jared Goff. There you go, genius. You got to wear it too.
McVay and Andy Reid, both the same thing, same Super Bowl. We're just going to keep doing the same thing even though it's not working. Same thing. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, back into a huge story in the NBA from the playoffs tonight. That's next right here on Fox.